Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we discuss the relentless pursuit of ROI. Yes, that's right, return on investment and return on inflation. We have a changing future with monetary policy and fiscal policy the way it is, and we need to prepare for it as investors by structuring our transactions differently, and we will talk about that on this episode and future episodes, of course. So we will be back with a fantastic interview for you and a guest today in just less than 60 seconds. Stay tuned.
Every month, Platinum Properties Investor Network Incorporated conducts a conference call to educate its Inner Circle members on a relevant real estate investing topic in order to get you one step closer to the American dream of financial freedom.
Jason's forecasting ability is legendary, and he will offer jaw-dropping predictions of what is to come in 2011. He will share with you the studies, analysis, and predictions based on true economic reality rather than mainstream media hype. Jason offers the world's only income property forecast that accounts for the true multidimensional nature of income property investments. No other source offers this. It's totally unique and amazingly innovative.
Jason will discuss where the value of the dollar is headed, inflation predictions, stock market and commodity trends, unemployment and interest rate predictions, and a multidimensional estate market outlook.
He'll also share what other major economic and real estate companies are predicting for our nation's future, breaking down return on investment by market and the real cost of your necessary daily purchases.
Register this month to discover the necessary predictions for 2011 and beyond. This call is free for members and only $20 for non-members. Go to jasonhartman.com/store/events to obtain the date and time for the next call.
Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and today I am here with Tim. Tim has been on the show before. You've heard from him, and he is one of our investment counselors. He specializes in commercial properties, and today he wanted to bring up a topic, which I think is a great idea, to talk about maximizing the purchase, to talk about making money when you buy, to talk about getting in with less money, getting money back at the close, and how you can sort of arrange things to benefit you in a lot of ways there. Tim, welcome back.
Great to be back.
So how can people basically make money when they buy, or really just kind of milk the purchase of their deal to just maximize it like crazy?
One of the things I like about commercial is there's actually a lot of ways that you can do that. And even before you complete a sale, I've had situations where I've had a piece of property under contract, and I had just put this piece of property under contract, and the broker called me and he said, "Hey, I've got another guy that wants the property. He's willing to give you $25,000 to take over your contract." And I said, "Well, no, that's okay. I'm going to go ahead with the purchase." And he called me back the next day and he said, "This guy's willing to give you $50,000 to walk away from your contract." And I said, no, I'm still gonna buy the property."
You're holding out there.
And he called me again.
And all you're doing there is just selling a contract.
Yeah.
You're just assigning a contract.
He wanted my deal.
Okay, so he called you again. What
called me again, offered me $75,000, and I thought really hard about it. I thought all the fun things I could do with $75,000 and not have to do any work for it other than just assign this guy my contract. And I ended up not doing it. I ended up continuing on with the purchase, and he never raised his offer. If he had come back for $100,000, I probably would have taken it.
So did you make $200,000 on the deal, though?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay.
We still have it.
So that's one example, just selling off your contract.
Sure, and I know people that do that. They go out and they negotiate a really great deal on a really great piece of property, and they lock it up they'll option it for 6 months, and then they'll go around and they'll try and find somebody to buy their option. And that's a nice way of making money without actually purchasing anything.
Sure. So one of the other ways that people can do this, though, is they can monkey around with the security deposits. They can do this with other revenues by assigning them early.
Closing on the third of the month.
Right.
It gives you almost 2 months before you have to make a payment. You know, having a repair allowance, I guarantee you, if you're looking at any piece of property, if you look hard enough, you can find something that needs to be done, whether it's, you know, a new parking lot or new roofing or needs some landscaping or siding, or maybe you need new windows. Maybe you want to change out the toilets for low flow toilets. Whatever it is, you can write in the contract that you want to have, say, you know, $50,000 for repair allowance. And as long as the mortgage company is okay with that, when you negotiate your loan, you can get away with it. I think one of the other things that, in my opinion, one of the best things is asking for what are called prorated rents. Now, most lenders will let you prorate up to 6 months of rent. So let's say, for example, that you have a building that's getting $50,000 a month in rent, and you have negotiated in there with the seller that you get 6 months of prorated rent at the closing. You can get $300,000 at the closing. So you can use that as part of your down payment. You can use that as some, you know, repair monies or whatever. But it's just another way of rolling that cost into the property. And so you're going to end up having to pay interest on it because you're going to be paying a little bit more for the building. But as long as the numbers can substantiate that new price, there's no reason not to do it.
Absolutely.
You want that leverage. So another thing is, you talked about it, using security deposits. If you figure you've got a 100-unit apartment building and each unit put up $400 for security deposit, you know, you're looking at, what is that, $40,000 of security deposits. You can use that as part of your down payment. As long as when somebody moves out, you've got some reserves set aside so that you can give them their security deposit back if they deserve it.
Right. And what you're doing here is you're really sort of compressing time, if you will. You're just sort of bringing the future into today. And so you ultimately don't do this when it's too skinny or you're going to get yourself in trouble. But it is a way to lower your entry cost into a deal.
Right.
Which is always nice, because as long as you're prudent and careful with leverage, this is just another form of leverage and it can be very profitable.
Sure. You have to make sure that you've done your homework and that you're not taking on too much leverage unnecessarily. One of the things that I've just recently done on one of my properties is my laundry contract came up. And not only was I able to negotiate a better split with the laundry company, I was able to get all brand new machines, and I got a $10,000 check from the laundry company.
I just want to make sure people really understand what you're talking about, because if they haven't had larger properties or if they haven't done this, they think of, well, we've got a laundry facility in our apartment building or our mobile home park or whatever, and they went to Best Buy, bought some washing machines and stuck them in there and maybe, you know, put some coin things on them or made it free or whatever. I mean, owners do all sorts of crazy things. What you've done is you've outsourced your laundry facility.
Yes.
To a company that provides laundry services inside of apartment buildings.
Well, we went one step further than that. It was a 102-unit building, and we made one of the units, one of the one-bedroom units, a manager's office. And then we decided to make another one of the one-bedroom units into a laundry room slash vending machine slash video game slash mailbox. And so when we did that, we had signed a 3-year contract with this laundry vendor. It was a 50-50 split, and he put his own machines in there, and we were getting half of whatever the machines were bringing in. Well, the interesting thing was, is we were only getting $500 a month in rent for that unit. When we put all those laundry machines and vending machines in there, we were making about $700 a week. And our split was 50-50, so we ended up making about $1,400 a month on a unit that previously was only getting about $500 a month in rent.
So what do you think that translates to, not doing my math here, paying real close attention, but in terms of cap rate on the deal, I mean, that really falls to the bottom line and improves the value of the property.
Oh, sure. We made the building worth about $100,000 more by having that additional revenue source.
See, unless the listeners here have done this themselves, most of them really, I don't think, realize how substantial something that's seemingly small can be, right?
Sure. And most of the property owners don't even realize it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All you want to do, the more income you can squeeze out of a piece of property on a commercial side, the more valuable it becomes. And so if you can get really good at seeing the opportunities and increasing the income or decreasing the expenses, you'll be very wealthy at this. you can make a lot of money doing that.
Yep. Ben Franklin, I think, was the one that said, the path to success lies in either augmenting your means or diminishing your wants. And that's what you need to do to your buildings, your properties. They got to produce more income or they've got to cost less. If you can just get slight rent increases or provide an extra service and get increased income out of that, always think of that as well. But I want to stay on topic here and on this. So what else on this? What else would you like to say?
Well, you know, there was one other property that came to mind. I was actually buying piece of property in Pocatello, Idaho, and it was a fourplex and a triplex on one piece of property, one deed, which made it 7 units, which means it was a commercial property, so I had to get a commercial loan.
And yeah, because it's over 4 units.
It's over 4 right. units. So what I did was, while I had it under contract, I went to the city and said I would like to subdivide this property into 2 separate properties. They had a surveyor go out there within a couple of days, and before I closed escrow, I actually had 2 separate pieces of property, and I sold the fourplex for enough to where I got the triplex for only $20,000.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, sometimes you can basically sell off one piece of it and basically get the other piece for free and get it to keep. And if you really think about it, back to the, I guess it was really the late 1980s, I was going to say the 80s, but the late 1980s, the first Wall Street movie. And, you know, when we think back to Ivan Boesky and all of the real people that were doing it, though, Carl Icahn, who's still around, Ivan Boesky, et cetera, all these so-called corporate raider types, they would go in and what they would do basically is they would look at the value of a company from the perspective of the price of its stock. But then they would say, look, at the company has all of these pieces, all of these things it owns, maybe other businesses, trade names, real estate, factories, whatever it is, back when people used to actually make something in America. I won't go there, but it's a pet peeve of mine that we don't make enough here. And they would say, well, gosh, if I can acquire control of this property based on the depressed price of the stock and turn around and have control and then sell off some of these assets, I can basically get it for free. The rest of the assets I'll end up with for free or very little money, right?
Yeah. We had a situation with an apartment building in Mississippi that the apartment building came with this piece of land. It was about 2-acre piece of land. And we went to the county and we said, what can we do with this piece of land? And the county says, you can't do anything with it. We're not going to let you build on it. We're not going to let you sell it off, subdivide it, or anything. And it was costing us about $500 a month just to have it mowed. And so we went to the county. After thinking about it, we went back to the county and said, well, could we donate the land to the county? And would the county be willing to give us a tax break in exchange? Oh, yes, well, you certainly can do that. So now the county has to mow the land every month, and we got 10 years of no taxes, which also increased the value of our property.
So no property taxes for 10 years.
Exactly.
That's a pretty good deal. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They get to deal with the snakes and everything.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another thing, like in the mobile home park world, sometimes the property, it'll have its pads for all the mobile home parks, but it'll have like an owner's house on it, a regular stick-built house, or might even have a stick-built house and like another building. And a lot of times you can either change the use of those or you can sell one of them off. I mean, a lot of mobile home parks and self-storage facilities, for that matter, will have I was looking at one deal that I actually had tied up but didn't go through with it. It was in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, and it was 30 acres. And less than half of that property was actually improved. And we were kind of thinking, well, and we didn't end up going through with the deal because the roads were just in such bad shape, and we got quotes, and it was like $120,000 to repave the roads. And there's various levels of paving, by the way, every listener should know. You can either just gloss over it, but then you're going to have potholes again real soon, or you can do it well and prep the ground, and that's much more expensive to do it that way. So we didn't go through with the deal, but we were thinking, you know, maybe we should just sell off the rest of that land and just operate the improved part of it as the long-term buy and hold investment. So a lot of choices there as well.
Yeah, and the only other thing that that I wanted to mention was about seller financing. Seller financing can be huge. And
the holy grail.
Oh, yeah.
I love seller financing when you can get it.
Well, and the other thing, too, that you can do is a lot of times in exchange for a down payment, you can offer the seller ownership in the property, you know, as like a silent partner. You get the loan in your name. And, you know, $2 million piece of property, you might have $1.5 million loan in your name. And the other $500,000 would, instead of giving that to the owner as a down payment, they could take a 25% ownership in your property and just be a silent partner. Now, oftentimes that doesn't happen, but it doesn't hurt to ask.
It sure doesn't. Well, good stuff. So there are ways to get in with less money. And this show, although we got on a few tangents here, was really dedicated to the concept of decreasing your entry cost into a property. You can assign a contract. You can move security deposits or other income sources around on the property and arrange them. You can close on certain dates to lessen your upfront cost or delay initial payments. You can make the seller a partner. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. So think out of the box. Be creative. That, again, is the point. Right, Tim?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and happy investing. We'll talk to you real soon.
It only happens twice a year.
And the next Meet the Masters event happens on March 4th through 6th, 2011, in beautiful Orange County, California.
With our panel of experts, we're putting enough real estate brain power in one room to make Donald Trump flinch.
Meet the Masters is a powerhouse education that can revolutionize how you think about money and wealth in totally unique and incredibly innovative ways.
You will learn the smart way to choose properties by market and micro market, entity structuring for financial protection and privacy, how to grab every tax benefit the law allows and save on life's largest expense, how to put together the most creative financing package possible, the hidden power of the 1031 exchange, how to easily invest in dynamic growth markets outside of California.
You'll also receive one-on-one coaching from a professional real estate investment counselor. At Platinum Properties, no one falls through the cracks. We want you to succeed, and we're determined to do everything in our power to make that happen.
Will you be any closer to financial freedom in 1 year? 2 days can make all the difference if you simply have the courage to take action on your dreams.
The reality is that you can fire your boss and live life on your own terms sooner than you think. For more information about the Meet the Masters event and how to receive a $950 discount, go to jasonhartman.com/events.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.